Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
And here in Psalm 18, verse 28, David writes that God is my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness. Your word, the word of God, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Think of that. God's word is a light.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe, senior pastor of Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Many families own a Bible, but the Bible isn't just a religious keepsake to be passed down through generations. It's the living Word of God. Today, we're returning to our study on the life of David by considering David's relationship with the Word of God. Now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Happy New Year! Isn't it exciting to look forward to 2023 and think of all that God has planned for us? In this first broadcast of the new year, we resume our study of the life of David. And I want us to think of David and the Word of God. Here is a man who is a man after God's own heart. And that means that he delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on it day and night. If we're going to walk with God, if we're going to do His will throughout 2023, it is essential to know the Word of God, to obey the Word of God, and seek to be guided by God's Word. So today, we're going to learn about the Word of God from a couple of the Psalms of David. There are several people in the Scriptures who are referred to as friends of God. There are many people referred to as servants of the Lord, but only David, King David, is referred to as a man after God's own heart. And that has intrigued me. What was it about David that God could say of him, this is a man after God's own heart? When Saul, the first king of Israel, is rejected as king of Israel, Samuel says in 1 Samuel 13, verse 14, the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be prince over his people, because you, Saul, have not kept what the Lord commanded you. In the New Testament, in Acts chapter 13, when Paul is rehearsing the history of Israel, he says this, Acts 13, verses 21 and 22. Then they asked for a king. That's Israel asked for a king, you remember. And God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do all my will. We see the sovereign hand of God in setting aside Saul, the first king of Israel, and raising up this unknown young man, this shepherd from Bethlehem, the youngest of a large family. And David, this unknown person, is going to become Israel's greatest king. And in spite of his failures, in spite of his sin, he is called a man after God's own heart. Isn't it true that only God knows the heart? That's why we should be careful, shouldn't we, and be very slow to judge our brothers and sisters in Christ. And in referring to David in Acts chapter 13, Paul not only describes him as a man after God's own heart, but one who will, quote, will do all my will. That is, will do all the will of God. But how does David know the will of God? And that brings us to today's subject, David and God's Word. David and the Word of God. George Gallup said, Americans revere the Bible, but by and large, they don't read it. Do you hear that? We revere the Bible, but says George Gallup, we don't read it. Now, David wrote many Psalms. He loved the Word of God. And as we begin, I have to ask you, would you say truly before God that you love His Word? All of us who are followers of Jesus, I'm sure, without exception, have good intentions to read and study and to memorize and to obey the living Word of God. That certainly is my desire at the beginning of every year. I'm sure, like many of you, you think of ways in which you're going to grow in the Lord? Is there some particular sin that has tended to tempt you a lot during the past year? What about the fruit of the Spirit? I like to take perhaps one aspect of the fruit of the Spirit and focus on that during the year. And also to renew our commitment to the Word of God. And as your pastor, I say I renew my commitment to be a man of this book. Not to entertain you, but my goal is to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. I want, and I want you, to be an authentic follower of Jesus Christ, to be a mature, a growing servant of God. And to do that, we need the Word of God. Have you ever watched a parent, some of you have done this, trying to get a young child to eat food they didn't want to eat? And they go to all kinds of little games. You know, they pretend the Brussels sprouts. I love Brussels sprouts. Our grandchildren are less enthusiastic. But you see some mother or grandmother saying, here's a little plane and it's going to land, or here's a little train going into the tunnel. And they're doing all of these little tricks to get the children to eat nourishing food. Sometimes I think some pastors are like that. We've got to entertain, we've got to do little tricks to get people into the Word of God. That really shouldn't be necessary. Part of being a follower of Christ is that we have the indwelling Spirit and we have a desire and a love for the Word of God. In Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, we read this of Ezra. Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel. Did you notice the order? Pastors, elders, life group leaders, Bible study leaders, did you notice the order? First, Ezra set his heart to study the law of God. That was the first thing. He desired to study the Word of God. Secondly, he desired to do it. And then third, notice the order, then to teach it. Sometimes there are people who want to teach the Word of God, but they've not given themselves to study it. And so they take someone else's notes or a curriculum or a book, not the book, and regurgitate what someone else has said. Nowadays online, you can get all of this information, but there's really no study. It's like someone serving you a meal and they haven't thought carefully how to bake the meat or how to bake the cake, and it comes into these raw ingredients. That's not what God wants. Sometimes we come across people who do seem to study the Word of God, but they're not doing it. Remember, Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, I want you to present yourself to God as a workman who is not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God wants us to study the Word of God, then to do it. It's got to touch our heart. Let me say to those of you who are teachers of the Word of God has got to come into our heart. We first preach to ourselves, as it were. You know that when you're raising your children, whatever you say to your children, the children are watching what you do. And it was said of the Pharisees, remember Jesus said to them, do what they say, but don't do what they do. They knew the law, but it had not had the transforming impact in their lives. So we study the Word of God, not as an academic exercise, although there is great, great, rich truth for the profoundest of minds, but that we ourselves first would grow in the Lord and then have the joy of teaching that to others, beginning in our own home. When Luke begins the book of Acts, he writes in Acts 1, verse 1, you may recall, Luke says, I've dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. Again, notice the order. It was what Jesus did and taught. So we don't first study the Word of God so we can teach it to others. We teach it because we know that we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So let me ask you, having said that, to open your Bibles to Psalm chapter 18, which is a psalm of triumph, of thanksgiving, as a psalm of David as he's rescued from his enemies and from the hand of Saul, as stated in the superscription. And I don't want to look at the particulars of Psalm 18, although it's a fascinating psalm, but want to read verses 28 through 30, and then look at the next psalm, Psalm 19. Psalm 18 then, verse 28. For it is you who light my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. And these wonderful verses. God's word is a light. Psalm 119, one of the best known verses in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 105. We read, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Many things are true about this book, the Bible, but one of them is that God's word is a light. We thought on Christmas Eve about God creating light in the beginning. God said, let there be light, and there was light. John writes that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. And here in Psalm 18, verse 28, David writes that God is my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness. Your word, the word of God, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Think of that as we go into a new year. Some of you anticipate some difficulties, don't you? There's concerns about the future at work, in your family, in the church. There are personal struggles, and we think there may be darkness and confusion. God's word, here is the promise, it gives us light. It gives us direction in the uncertain and dark situations of life. All of us face difficult situations. All of us face situations which seem very dark, very, very bleak. We wonder what we should do, how should we react, how should we respond. Notice what David says in Psalm 19, the next Psalm, Psalm 19, verse 8, the commandment, the latter part, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. God's word produces light in the darkness. Psalm 119, verse 130, the entrance of thy word gives light. The ESV says, the unfolding of your word gives light. That's a great promise, isn't it? When we're in the dark and the uncertain places of life, in the dark nights of the soul, we open the word of God. Do you do that? Have you found that it gives light? It shines in our path. Jesus said that men prefer darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And the word of God reveals the darkness of sin in our own lives and in the lives of others. So the word of God turns on the light. In fact, it is the light. We call that illumination. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And then he says, for God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God's word is light. Now, as we look at verse 30 of Psalm 18, and look into Psalm 19, we see that the word of God not only is a light, the word of God, in fact, is perfect. The word of God is perfect. Verse 30 of Psalm 18, this God, his way is perfect. All of us made mistakes last year. There are things we'd like to redo. There are conversations we wish we could have done. God never has to apologize. God's way is perfect. And then says David, the word of the Lord proves true. Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, that is the word of God, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The word of God is perfect. Psalm 19, verse 7. We believe that very strongly, church, that God's word is absolute truth. David has said in chapter 18, verse 30, the word of the Lord proves true. Paul in 2 Corinthians 6 says that all scripture is breathed out by God. That is, when the Bible speaks, God speaks. This is our absolute authority. It is perfect. So we live in a culture where we determine our own authority, where we determine our own meaning, and our culture defines meaning and truth based on personal experiences. What someone feels, what someone thinks, what someone says, well, this is my perception, that becomes the source of authority and truth. Just think of that, how foolish that is. We put ourselves at the very center of our lives rather than God and His Word. Someone says, well, this is what I feel. And they seem to disregard the facts or the logic of an argument and say, well, that's just how I feel. How do we know truth? How are we able to discern between truth and error? The Word of God. It is perfect. The Word of the Lord is perfect. The Word of the Lord proves true. This is why we study and love the Word of God. In Romans, we learn that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of Christ. The way we grow is through the Word of God. The way we come to saving faith in Christ is through the Word of God. So Paul says to Timothy, from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. What's going to be profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness? Paul says at the end of 2 Timothy 3, it is the Word of God. Your salvation, your eternal destiny, your spiritual growth is dependent on the Word of God. See, the Word of God has supernatural power. Sometimes I'm asked, why do I preach the Bible so much? Could give political commentary. Think of all I could say about what's going on in politics. I'd love to say some things. I've got ideas and opinions and all kinds of things. And I'm quite prepared to bore you, but not from the pulpit. When I come here, when you come here, it is, someone says amen, it's the only time they've ever agreed with me, but never mind. When I come here, when you come here, it's to hear the word of God, isn't it? David says, Psalm 18, verse 30, that God, thank you, God is a shield for all those who take refuge in him, and that God's word is a shield. How did Jesus respond to the temptations of the devil? The Word of God. It is written. It is written. It is written. As he quotes, mainly from the book of Deuteronomy. How did Jesus respond when he's questioned by the Pharisees? When he's questioned by the religious leaders? Over and over again in the Gospels, he asks the question, have you not read? Have you not read? Have you not read? In other words, if you knew the word of God, you would know the answer. What an inspiring example. Not what we think, not your opinions, not our feelings, but what Scripture says. And this is what David is saying. And all of the varying circumstances of his life, and he led a very, very full life, a very unusual life. He came to understand this, that the law of the Lord is perfect. The old adage is true. Sin will keep you from this book, and this book will keep you from sin. The more we make a commitment, a challenge of total commitment to Christ, the more young man, young woman, that you desire before God to be used by God, this I guarantee, that the devil will be after you in a way that you've never experienced before. I told you before that I have a friend, pastor, who calls me when he, and his question is always, how is the devil harassing you this week? I think, go away. Please go away. But the devil harasses us, doesn't it? Are you going to fear that? No. The word of God is a shield around us. If we keep true to the word of God, if we keep in the word of God, Psalm 119, verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Is it possible for a young man to live a clean life in today's society? Yes. How? Answer? By living according to your word. Psalm 119, verse 9. Psalm 119, verse 11, your word have I treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. Yes, in our sleazy world, where the devil is so active and attacks us and harasses us, is it possible to live a life for God? Absolutely, if you live it according to this book. Notice what David says here in verse 7 of Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul, restoring the soul. What's going to bring spiritual revival to your heart, to this church, is this book.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and the start of a message titled David and God's Word. John has more to share in just a moment, so keep listening. First, as a special bonus for this new study on the life of David, we'd like to offer you a free copy of the helpful listening guide John has put together for this series. Designed to walk you through each of the lessons in the coming days, this printable guide will equip you with key notes, questions, and specific prompts to help you apply the biblical teachings from the life of David to your own life today. So take advantage of this free resource by downloading or requesting a mailed copy of the Life of David Listening Guide when you visit theverdict.org. And while you're there, be sure to also sign up for John's monthly email newsletter. So as we step into this new year and begin looking ahead, will you consider joining our efforts to bring the truth of God's Word into new communities and across the globe? You can help by making a financial gift of any amount. We've made it quick and easy to give through our website. Just go to theverdict.org. And one more reminder, if you haven't already, subscribe to The Verdict Podcast. In addition to these daily lessons, you'll receive John's weekly podcast exclusive called Avizandum, where he addresses relevant topics like politics in the church, the dangers of idols, and the uniqueness of Israel. You'll find all this and more by subscribing to The Verdict Podcast. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? Will you make a plan to read the Word of God each day of 2023? Not one of us know what we will face. There may well be dark and difficult times during 2023, but with the Word of God to guide us, we will know how to live and how to respond. And the more you read the Word of God, the more you'll love it. And your love for God will deepen and grow. Don't miss the broadcast next time as we continue to think of David and the Word of God.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.